Everybody, get your Bibles out now. We're going to really try to finish this up this evening because we spent really several services on this subject. And I've got some notes wrote down here. I'm going to try to go just a little faster. If you have a question and I don't get to answer it, it's not because I don't want to. It's just because once we get started, it just goes on forever. So we've got to try to get this finished because there's so much other stuff we've got to get to. Let's get in the Bible here, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And basically, I'm going to go over what I've said and then pick it up from here and finish chapter 14. You go to a church, we claim to believe the Bible. We claim that the Bible is our final authority. You'll find, even tonight, that so many churches and Christians couldn't care less what the Bible says. They believe in, I felt this, or I saw this, or grandma believed, or I was taught, or I've always heard, instead of what the Bible said. Now what we try to do here at our church is we give you what the Bible said, because really that's the only thing you can be sure of. You can't trust your feelings. You cannot trust your experience. You can't even trust a miracle. If you saw a man work a miracle, that don't mean he's of God. It really don't. The devil has power. He counterfeited the miracles back in Moses' day and done everything they could do. They turned their rod. He turned his rod into a serpent. They turned their rod into a serpent. Weird, kind of weird to them guys. Lord made lice, and one of them plagues, flies or frogs or something, and they made frogs. Why would you want to make frogs to torment yourself? But they were jealous of God's power. But now, the only thing you can go by for sure is the Word of God. So many people tonight go live their whole life strictly by their feelings. And like I said the other night, you can go somewhere and maybe they got good music and a band, and boy, that music makes you feel good. It really does. You feel good and everything. And you think, boy, I left her. And then you come and some guy gets up and just rips your head off or says something mean, like I did a minute ago. And you just think, this didn't make me feel good. And what you've got to remember is the whole purpose of going to church is not to make you feel good. The whole purpose of going to church is for you to get closer to God, do right, and then go out and get somebody else and get them saved. Now, sometimes we do get to feel good. Like when she sang that little song, we laughed, cut up. That's wonderful. But you can't live off that. It takes the Word of God for you to live off of, spiritually. I'll tell you something else. Singing, and I love it, singing won't even get you through life. It takes the Word of God. Singing ain't what... I mean, I love it. I love singing. I sing all the time to myself. And I got a song in my heart all the time. But you got the Word of God's what's going to get you through this thing. What will help your family? What will help your marriage? So tonight, we learn. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14. Hold your place there and turn back to chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to just briefly, and I mean very briefly, say what I said earlier. And try to remember this. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 122. Chapter 1, verse 22. It says, for the Jews require a sign. Jews require a sign. Those Old Testament Jews during this time when Paul wrote this require a sign. And Greeks, that would be Gentiles, which is us and everybody else, seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block and the Greeks foolishness. Now, look at verse 22. Jews require a sign. They have to have a sign to believe. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, same verse, 22. 1 Corinthians 14, 22. Wherefore, tongues, speaking in tongues, are for a sign. Jews require a sign. God gives the sign. What is the sign? Speaking in tongues. Not to them that believe. Speaking in tongues has nothing to do with helping Christians helping other Christians. But to them that believe not. Unbelieving Jews. Now if you'll get that through your head, you will understand the modern day, what we call the modern day charismatic movement, is got way off base. Way off base. And what they've done, they've took a little scripture in Acts and took a little scripture in 1 Corinthians and took another little scripture in 1 Corinthians and got it all mixed together and built up this doctrine that you get saved, and then about a month later you come back and get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and when you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you will speak in tongues. And I'm not trying to be ugly, I'm not trying to be critical, but the only way I can tell you the truth is expose error. And the churches who believe and teach this, I'm not judging these people. I'm not saying they're not Christians. I'm not saying they're not saved. It's got nothing to do with it. I'm saying doctrinally, they're confused. That's what I'm saying. And Israel was God's people, Jews, and God gave Gentiles the gift of speaking in tongues during the days of the apostles so that the Jews would believe that God had really raised Jesus from the dead and was saving Gentiles. When the apostles died and the New Testament was completed, they had a Bible to go by. The sign gifts of an apostle died with the apostles. Now, when you say that, immediately they jump up and down and say, "Oh, you Baptists believe the days of miracles are past." I didn't believe that. I don't believe that. I didn't say that. God does work miracles. He can work miracles. He can still work miracles. God can do anything. God could make my tongue speak Chinese right now. No problem at all. The Lord could He could make me speak Japanese. Any language in the world. I'm not limiting God and saying, "Well, He did miracles there, but He don't now." That's not true. God does work miracles. He can. He can heal. He can raise the dead. He can do anything. What I'm saying for the umpteenth time is the apostles had sign gifts. Miracles, signs, and speaking in tongues. And the apostles' job was to convince the Jews that God accepted Gentiles. And when the apostles died, the Holy Spirit shifted from Jew to Gentile. And the Jews are blinded right now. That's why you go out here and talk to a Jew. It's hard for them to get a hold of the truths of the gospel. You see all of them that work in the malls and stuff. Do y'all witness to them? All them people that won't do your fingernails and stuff. They're all, most about every one of them are Jewish. And don't you be rude to them. Be nice to them. I've never had my fingernails done. And I ain't going to let no girl do it, and I sure ain't going to let no man. I'm a big boy. I can cut my own fingernails. But I go in there, and they say, come here, sir. Can I say, "No, I know it's not happening." And I put my hand on her shoulder and say, "Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you." And they say, "Why are you doing that?" And I say, "Because God said, if I bless you, He bless me. Abraham, your father, God promised, I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you." And they're a different people. Those Jews are a different people. And God's earthly chosen people are the Jews. Earthly chosen people. God's earthly chosen people are not white. And they're not black. They're brown. Those Jews. And He didn't pick them because of the color of their skin. He picked them because Abraham believed God. And God said, "I will bless your descendants." And by the way, that's what they're fighting on over there right now, is that land. Palestine, Iraq, Iran, all those nations are fighting right now over whether or not the Jews really own that land that they're on. And America will sign our spiritual death warrant when we turn against Israel. And it's starting to happen. You can see it, you can hear it on the news. You make sure when you listen to a presidential candidate talk, you make sure that you listen to where they stand on Israel. Is he Israel's friend? Does he try to support Israel? You better make sure of that. Of course, you know, we got election coming up. It's going to boil down to a Muslim or a Mormon. That's our choices this year. And I'm not saying any one of these guys are religious or saved or not saved. I'm not saying, I don't know their heart. But that's what their doctrine is. I've got video clips of President Obama saying like four times, "The Holy Quran, the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran." And when he says the Bible, he just says the Bible. Never says the Holy Bible. That tells you a lot. That tells you a lot. And Mitt, that's our other choice this year. He's a Mormon. You say, "Well, isn't that just another denomination?" The Mormon church believes a lot of weird stuff. They believe that Jesus and the devil were brothers. And that the devil rebelled and got kicked out. And that you will someday become your own God and inhabit your universe with people. and the holy underwear and all that kind of stuff. It's a real Mormon who wears a holy underwear, it never leaves their body, ever. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you take a shower, you take it off, you put your foot on the dirty underwear, and then you take a shower, then you put your foot on the clean underwear, or clean, do it somehow or another, and it never does not touch, leave your body. I don't know if Mitt wears them or not, but any way you cut the cake, this country's in a mess. It's a mess. And you know, people, when I say stuff like that, people say, you shouldn't say inflammatory remarks that get people all upset. Well, have we got to the place where we can't even talk and tell the truth? We need to pray. So, Jews require a sign. And tongues are that sign. Now, you're never told to pray for the gift of tongues. Nowhere in the Bible where it says you're supposed to seek or pray for the gift of tongues. It said desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Nowhere is it said, pray for the gift of tongues. I've known people said, I've been praying for the gift of tongues and the Lord ain't give it to me yet. And all that. It's sad because they're being honest. Okay? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 now, and let's move along here. All right. Let's see here. Verse number 11. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Why does it say that? Because look at verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. What does the Bible do? Say, it said you're supposed to try to edify the church. Edify means encourage and build up and help. Edify, that's what it means. Edification. Now, it said we're not supposed to edify ourselves. We're supposed to edify the church. What good would it do you if I jumped up here tonight and I said, and you think, well, I hope you're getting a blessing because I sure ain't getting nothing out of that. Now, you know what he said? Look at verse number. Let's see here. Verse 19. Yet in the church, he said, whatever you do out there during the signs of Israel, yet in the church, I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. See verse 19? I'd rather speak 5 words that would help you than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Why is everybody making such a big deal over the speaking in tongues? Not raising the dead, not doing miracles, speaking in tongues. I hate to say this, but this is the answer. The answer is that's the easiest one to fake. It's hard to fake them other ones. But they do that too. I have heard of healing services. There's a lot of crook preachers. I mean, where they go and they'll set up a tent and this guy comes down the aisle, you know, and he comes down the aisle and he's on crutches like this, you know, and the guy comes down there, you know, and he says, oh, were you born this way? Yeah, well, I'll tell you one thing in the name of Jesus. Pow! Like that, you know, and he throws his crutches down and runs around the tent, you know, and everybody goes wild and they pass offering plates. Then you go to the next town, and they set the tent up, and the same fella comes down the aisle. They said, that has happened. They say, now listen, that's just fake. That's just crooks. You say, well, Brother Danny, God can... Yes, sir, He can heal. We had healing prayer for Bo here the other night. You want to get healed tonight? If you're on crutches, come down here. We'll pray for you. But I can't do it. If it happens, God will have to do it. The Lord is the healer. He's great. And you can't make merchant. You don't sell God's blessings. You don't say, give so much money and God will heal you. It's not for sale. Nowhere in the Bible did the apostles sell God's power. It's always you honor Him, you put your faith in Him, and He's able to do it. Okay, let's move on here. I'm getting off on this. Look at verse number 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. My spirit, not the Holy Spirit. See that? Little S, King James Bible again. saves you from learning false doctrine. Verse 14, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. He said, I pray, I'm praying, but my understanding ain't doing a bit of nobody no good. What is it then? Verse 15, I will pray with the spirit, and I'll pray the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I'll sing with the understanding also. Else, 16, what then shall, who will bless with the Spirit, when you bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, Amen, at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? Thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Paul wasn't telling them to. He said, Paul knew about five different languages. He was a highly educated man. And he just had the gift of tongues as an apostle also. He wasn't telling them it was of the devil. He was telling them, if you're going to do this, do it right in the church and follow my leadership and the commandments of the Lord. All right, now I'm hurrying now. Y'all, if you want to ask questions, you just raise your hand, but I'm going to hurry. Verse 22 said tongues are for a sign. Verse 23, look at the context. Wherefore, when the whole church be come together, remember, this is what we're talking about, the whole church meeting together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you're mad? What's that saying? He said, if everybody in here, you got 300 people in here speaking in tongues, and an unbeliever comes in, they're going to say, these people are crazy. That's what he said. Will they not say that you're mad? But if all prophesy, and there come one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he's judged of all. And verse 25, he gets under conviction, and the secrets of his heart are made manifest, and falling down on his face, he'll worship God. See the difference? See the difference? The Holy Spirit's not confusing. The Holy Spirit is not the author of confusion, as we'll see in just a minute. The Holy Spirit is never, ever, ever, ever the author of confusion. You got to remember, they have no Bible here. They have no Bible. They had no New Testament, and most of them didn't have the Old Testament. All they had was a bunch of people gathered together. And somebody jump up and they'd say, Jesus died on the cross. And people said, well, how do you know that? Who? Why should we believe you? So this guy would jump up and he'd say, Jesus died on the cross in some other language. And they'd say, my goodness, how did he know that language? And another would stand up and interpret, Christ died on the cross. And they'd say, you know what? These people's for real. This is real. And falling down on their face, they'd worship God. You got to remember that. They had no Bible. They had no New Testament. They were just hundreds of believers all over Corinth that would meet together. And Paul's telling them how this is supposed to operate. He said, if you prophesy, you're encouraging everybody. If everybody comes together and everybody's speaking in tongues, nobody knows what's going on. It's confusion. Now, look at verse number 26. How is it, brethren? When you come together, everybody has a psalm. Everybody has a doctrine. Everybody has a tongue. Everybody has a revelation. Has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Look at that verse. Let everything you do be done to edifying. Who does tongues edify? Yourself. Who does prophesying edify? Everybody. What's the difference in tongues and prophesying? Prophesying is preaching and talking and encouraging and telling the future. You say, do everybody in here can prophesy? You say, well, I can't tell the future. Yeah, you can. You tell a man, if you'll come up here and kneel down, God will forgive your sin. That's, you're telling him his future. When you die, you'll go to heaven. That's prophesying. When you die, if you're not saved, you'll go to hell. That's prophesying. I'm telling the future right now. Everybody in here who's saved will someday go to heaven to be with the Lord forever. You say, well, we know that. They didn't. They didn't have no way of knowing that. They didn't know that the rapture was coming. They didn't know. So when people stood up and said that, he said, you're prophesying. I know I'm running fast, but I'm going to hurry and give you a chance to talk. Verse 27. Here's the rule. Here's the rule for speaking in tongues. This is the Bible. And if you don't appreciate this, you're spitting on God's Word and taking what your grandma believed over the Word of God. Amen? Look at 1 Corinthians 14:27. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most three, and that by course, one at a time, and let one interpret. And if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him just speak to himself and to God. That's what God said. You say, well, I go to this church and there's like 50 people up speaking in tongues at the same time, and I just feel God. Well, you tell them that the Bible said that it's supposed to be one at a time and no more than three, and somebody's got to interpret. Why would I get in trouble for saying that? Because people believe what they think and what they felt more than what they believe what God said. Amen? That's right. And we're going to tell you what the Bible said. Let's look at it again. Verse 27. If any man speaking an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. And if there's no interpreter, nobody can tell everybody what they're saying, let him keep silence. And the context is tongues there, not singing a song or saying amen. Let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophets speak two or three and let the other judge. You say, well, Brother Danny, why'd they have to judge? They didn't have a Bible. See, when I'm up here preaching, you don't have to have Jeremy or Terry or Brother Derek stand up saying, thus saith the Lord, what he said is right. Why don't we have to do that? Because you got that.
Amen.
All you got to do is look and see what it says. When I'm up here preaching and I say, we ought to do this and that, folks, do the Bible, you know, Brother Joe don't have to jump up and say, all right, I'm going to prophesy what he said is true. Why don't we do that? You know why we don't do that? We got the Bible. We got the Bible. You don't have to have somebody to confirm what I've said. Okay? Just look at it. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. And if anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. One at a time, please. It's not confusion. Verse 32. And the spirits of the prophets, little s, their spirit, is subject to the prophets. There's nothing in there that says, oh, the Lord got a hold of me and I couldn't help it and he just took me over here and I had no control over myself. That's not what it said. It said the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. That means the Bible does not teach that I go completely out of control and just, I've heard somebody say, oh man, he couldn't help it. He ran over there and knocked the door open and kicked chairs over and everything else. You know. Now look, if you get happy in the Lord and you want to run and kick chairs, have at it. That's all right. But don't ever say, I couldn't help it. Don't ever say, the Holy Ghost got a hold. The Holy Ghost don't ever get a hold of you and make you do stuff. You cooperate with Him. You yield yourself to Him. But you can resist that. And you can say no. He don't get you against your will. The spirits of the prophets are subject. That's for these people that say, well, I know the Bible says that, but I just couldn't help it. The Lord got on me and I just started speaking in tongues. If you didn't do it according to that, it ain't the Lord got a hold of you. Now, we're really getting the fire going to hit the fan now, but my job is to teach the Bible. And if you got a problem with that, you got a bigger problem than these people do. Verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, amen, but of peace, as in all churches are saying. God is not the author of a bunch of confusion. Now, hold your finger right there just a second. I've been in services where people were shouting and praising God, but it wasn't confusing. Do you understand that? There's a difference. You know, there's somebody over here raise their hand, somebody over here says hallelujah, praise God, but it wasn't confusing. I've been in church where somebody, glory to God, like, oh, hallelujah, Howard does everything. Everybody understands what's being said. Everybody laughs. Everybody rejoices. And it's not confusing. Some of this stuff, like I was showing you on the video a couple of weeks ago, is confusion. Confusion. Nobody knows what's going on. Nobody knows what's being said. Nobody knows what's being taught. Nobody's interpreting. Nobody knows what in the world's going on. So, I want you to think about this now. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion. He's not. God, you know, it might get wild once in a while, but you know what's going on. It's not out of control. Okay, are you ready? Verse 34. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write it. My job is to preach it. You ought to appreciate me for this. Because there ain't one preacher in Burke County will even read this verse in his church. Hey, you go find me a church where a preacher will read this verse right here and I'll give you a dollar. Give you a dollar. Right. Show me one preacher that's read this verse in his church in the last 6 months and I'll give you a dollar for every church that done that. $5. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, for they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they'll learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Is it clear, boys? I didn't write it. Now, the context. What's the context of that scripture? Look at it. Let's look back at verse 28. Look back at verse 28. If there be no interpreter, let him keep silence. There's the context. The context of all them verses. He's speaking in tongues. So the rule is, if you have a church that speaks in tongues, one at a time, only three men and one interpreter, no women. That's if it means the other, if it means total silence, then a woman couldn't sing or say amen. I'd walk up to you and say, "How you doing, sister?" And you go, I don't think it means that. I don't think he would talk about tongues, and all of a sudden just change the subject. And because you can sing. Now, I know the day we're living in. We're living in women's liberty, women equality, all of that kind of. There's nothing in here about inequality. There's nothing in here. How many of y'all ever heard that that means they're in a business meeting? Raise your hand. You never heard that? That's what all Baptists teach. That means during a business meeting. Where in the world that come from, I have no clue in the world. They say, well, that means in the business meeting they were speaking out and they were disrupting the service and Paul told them to wait and ask their husbands at home. Now, some smarty pants always come up and say, well, what if a woman don't have a husband? And the Bible teaches this, ladies. The Bible's not anti-women. No religion in the world exalts womanhood like Christianity does. All those other religions degrade women. We believe in treating a woman right. I believe you ought to pay their bills and take care of them and open doors for them and buy them. I believe that. Don't you start this stuff if I'm against women. Amen? That's right. I believe a man's job to pay the bills. I do. Now, if you got a wife that wants to help you, hallelujah. You ought to thank God for it. But it's your job as a man. Amen. To make sure your family's took care of. Scripturally speaking, you're to be the breadwinner and head of the home. Scripturally speaking, and I'm right and I know I'm right. So don't say that I'm against women. I'm not. But you want me to preach the Bible or change it or duck out on it or what you want me to do? It says that the Bible teaches that a woman is to be under her daddy's authority till she moves out and she's under her husband's authority. If her husband dies or she has no, she has her pastor. I had a lady tell me one time, that's right. She said, the worst mistake I ever made in my life, Brother Danny, was living out on my own for 4 or 5 years. She said, that was the worst mistake. She said, because I was so used to doing things my way and using my money way. When I got married, I said, I ain't letting no man tell me what to do with my money, blah, 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 blah. And you all got that rebellious streak in you. And it's natural. And that's why God said, for the man to be the head of the household, woman to be in subjection to the man, you'll be a whole lot happier if you like that. I'm not saying it's wrong to work. The way everything's set up nowadays, you about have two incomes coming in to even make ends meet. And it used to didn't be like that. But we used to didn't have the mess we got like we do now either. You know what the old preachers used to preach years ago? They said the downfall of America was when our boys went off to war and that in World War II and all that, and then the women went to the factories and got the jobs and all. And that sounds sexist and that sounds male chauvinist and all that, but Jesus chose 12 disciples and they were all men. You know what they call him now? They call him a sexist.
Well, you should put one woman on your board of disciples, 12. At least two. That's what they'd say now. Jesus was not a racist or a sexist or a male chauvinist. He was God in the flesh. God the Father's male. God the Son's male. God the Holy Spirit's male. But when I say that, you hear, oh, he's saying that women are inferior. I'm not saying that. You're listening to the devil. I'm saying we're different and we have different positions. And if you'll be happier if you'll be in your position with what God said. Okay, go ahead.
Right. Worshiping the Lord.
Amen.
Where the disciples didn't even really know what was going on.
That's right. Listen, y'all, don't get me wrong. The best thing in the world is a good woman. There ain't nothing better in this world than a good woman. And there ain't nothing meaner than a bad one.
I think where a lot of women have a problem with the being submissive and that sort of thing is the fact that a lot of men take it out of context.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. Oh, yeah. That's the only verse they know. You got to obey me. Yeah. No, it don't. It don't. It don't. You're right. Men are so sorry, women don't want to submit to them. But that ain't no excuse. you're not talking about him, are they? Yes.
The Bible actually tells us that we're not to grow bitter
against our wives. That's right. You ought to treat her like an absolute queen, brother.
Amen.
Treat her like a queen. And be not bitter against your wife. Love her. Be good to her. Make sure she's got what she needs. And be willing to die for her. That's what the Bible said. Yeah, listen, you women, Christian women's got it made. You know, these people say, well, I believe it's equal. If a man's got this job, you know, they was talking about that cruise ship that went down in the ocean the other day. And they said, men were stepping right past women getting on them lifeboats. Well, you're the one that said we're equal. It's funny how we're equal until something like that happens, ain't it? Can't have it both ways, honey. He said, he ain't going to tell me what to do, but he's going to buy my supper and he's going to open the door for me and he's going to, whatever, you little brat. Anybody else, right quick? We're almost out of time. Carrie told me, she said, Daddy, they're driving me crazy back there. We're going to have to give her some help. She had 38 in there the other night. Anybody? Okay, let's. Yes, in the church. A woman goes and tells, a woman can witness, a woman can prophesy. You know, but in the church, a woman is not supposed to be in charge of the church. It don't say she can't open her mouth. It don't say the context is speaking in tongues. And it don't say she can't praise the Lord. It don't say she can't even give a testimony. Let the redeemed Lord say so. But the context is speaking in tongues. Look, y'all, ladies, if you think we're against ladies here, you're listening to the devil big time. But if you think Paula White is right where in the will of God, you're listening to the devil big time. Amen? At least Joyce Meyer just usually has all women. There's a couple of little men going there, but they could pass for women. But it's... Wouldn't you hate... I'm not trying to be ugly. You say, well, it's not fair. You men get to... Well, y'all get to have babies. How come y'all get to have all the babies and men never know what it's like to have a baby unless we get a kidney stone? It's not fair. You're against men. I don't want to have one, trust me. But, see, God didn't favor women above men by letting them... We're just different. We're made different. Get that through your head. Get that through your head. God don't love men more than women. God don't favor women. Women's the best thing in the world. They're a lot better than men. You know why our morals are so low in this country? The women's let the men drop them. Men will get just as low down as a woman. Well, let him. You know that's right. Say amen. A man will get as low down as a woman will let him get. That's right. Anybody else, right quick? Let's finish reading this. Verse 36. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? Look here now, verse 36. Now let's settle this once and for all. 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, you think you're spiritual? Your neighbors think you're spiritual. You think, well, I know this church over here, and they got a big crowd, and they got big lights, and they got flashing, you know, drums, and well, okay. If they think they're spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. You say, well, I know somebody that don't believe that. Next verse: if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. If somebody's got their mindset on being ignorant, and they'll say, I don't care what that says, I know what I believe, let them be ignorant. Ain't nothing you can do about it. You can argue till you're blue in the face. And they'll say, I know what I seen that night. Let them be ignorant. Anybody else right quick? Now, just to balance it out, verse 39, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. Desire to prophesy, not tongues, prophesy. And forbid not to speak with tongues. He said, if you're doing it right, don't forbid it. Let all things be done decently in order. I got one more question or two right quick. Anybody? Sum it up. God gave Israel those sign gifts, miracles, signs, and wonders. God gave them to the Gentiles so that Jews would believe them. He can still do it now if he wants to, but you don't have the gifts of the apostles, like the signs of an apostle like the apostles have. If you have, see me after the service, and we'll go over and help Goldie, Sandy's mom Goldie first, and then we'll go over there and help go over here to hospital at Grace Hospital and clean that place out. Because that's what they did. That's what they did. They healed everybody. Anybody got a question right there?
I agree with what you're saying, but over in Acts, we're talking about that guy that had $4 and prophesied.
Mm-hmm.
Not
in a church. They were probably saying, Christ has come. He's the King. He's the greatest. He's the wonderful. And telling people around their life. And really, that might have been before they even started assembling as a church.
But at that time, could a woman be used as a prophet like you predicted?
Yeah. Still could. I don't see no reason why a woman still couldn't be used to prophesy. God can use a woman or a man or a kid. You know, your sons and daughters in the tribulation. When he pours out his spirit. Anybody else? Look, I ain't a genius, but I do believe the book. And I know you'll always come out right if you'll go by this book. And people who love it will keep coming back for more. Amen? And we'll shout, we'll run the aisles, we'll turn the pulpit over, and shout glory, and people get saved, whatever. But whatever we do, it's got to be according to this book. And if not, if any man be ignorant, just let him be ignorant. All right, all minds and hearts clear. Now look, we're going visiting Saturday morning, y'all. Saturday morning, 9:30. See one of these bus workers? Everyone?